Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 21st. I'm Ray Graff. No matter how big or how small, a home improvement project can be a major undertaking. Boy, are you in luck today, because licensed professional engineer and construction specialist Darren Tracy is in the studio to answer your questions about home repair and maintenance. And to join today's discussion, just give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, and jot it down, 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy is here to answer your questions. Coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You know, even if it's only a tease, you get a day like today where the weather is warm and you start thinking about all those projects that you may have. Maybe you got to fix the gutters or work on the roof or the foundation. Well, we talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement today, and we welcome back Darren Tracy. He's a licensed professional engineer with extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management. Darren is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, which specializes in unique projects, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. Always great to have Darren Tracy on the show. Darren, welcome back.
Thank you, Ray.
Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you have a question along these lines, you can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. How about that weather?
Like you said, it's a tease.
Yeah, by tomorrow, we'll be, what happened to that? But it'll be here before you know it, and then it's time to get out there and do some projects. Now, before we get going with the program, and we already have some folks on the line and an email question or two, you wanted to thank some people.
I do. I'd like to make a public service thank you. I'd like to thank volunteers that recently participated in the Math Counts competition. Math Counts is a nonprofit organization that provides math programs for middle schoolers to help them engage them in math.
Oh, great.
There were 21 schools and over 200 students that participated from around the Capital District and the Adirondack region. I'd like to thank the volunteers from the Capital District Chapter of New York State Society of Professional Engineers, of which I am a member, GE, 3M, Price Chopper, and many teachers.
Oh,
also
nice.
Like to thank GE Corporate and SUTY Adirondack for use of their facilities.
Well, that's terrific. And it was a successful event?
Yes. I mean, it helps engage young people in math. We need math. We need people to be interested in math.
Were you good in math?
I was good in math, but I was just an average student because I had a really poor attention span.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be, well, in high school, I wanted to be in gym or shop.
Sure,
or
moving and doing things, yeah.
I mean, I've come to appreciate math more older as I'm an adult. I just like the definiteness of math versus the gray area and the rest of society.
Oh, boy, that's a good point. That's a great point. Hey, of course, in radio, most of us not too good at math. I can back time a Buckingham's record to the top of the hour if I need be, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So if you need to count backwards, that's radio people. Well, we have this one came in via email, and actually two from email, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. This is from a person named A in Kingston. If a building has a commercial space on the first floor and residential on the second floor, does there need to be two electrical panels, or would one supplying both floors meet code?
It depends on if that's an existing building. If it if the electrical panel was there before a certain code came into application, then you would not need to upgrade it. And even with a new building, you might be able to get away with one panel, but it would make more sense to have two panels to separate out the utilities.
All right, this one came in from Jeff. Yankee gutters, a permanent fix for leaky Yankee gutters. We're patching fairly constantly.
I don't know what a Yankee gutter is.
Let's just call it a regular gutter. And
There are aluminum gutters, there are plastic cover gutters, there are seamless steel gutters. I'll take a guess that it's a PVC gutter that comes in 10-foot sections,
okay. And
they have joints, and the joints tend to leak. One thing you can do is caulk those.
Okay.
But it could be totally wrong. It's just a wild guess. Yankee gutters, never heard of
it. I'm sure we'll get 17 calls.
Somebody
saying,
call in, tell me what a Yankee gutter is.
All right. Let's go to Dennis in Saratoga. Dennis, you're on.
Hi there. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Ray. And another gutter roof question. I have a 24-year-old two-bedroom ranch, and the roof is about 8 years old. I repaired the roof for different reasons. The drip edge on one part of the roof, the water runs around the drip edge and down the fascia. It's cedar fascia. It's held up pretty well. I'd like to somehow repair that drip edge, and I'm not sure how to go about that. Paint and repair whatever needs to be done to the cedar fascia. Maybe get like a gutter helmet, which is one of those covers, perhaps. My brother-in-law had a good luck with that type of a product. They don't have to clean their gutters. So anyway, I like gutters, but I also like to have the drip edge working correctly. Will it damage the shingle to pull that up? There's also grace membrane under that shingle. That's my question.
Okay.
All right. Well, I know what a gutter helmet is, and that's a screen that's installed on top of the gutter to help keep leaves and pine needles and things.
Yeah, this is a solid type, not a screen, but
well,
more
a perforated surface.
No, I don't think it's perforated.
Well,
but
it has to have some perforation in it to allow the water to get into the gutter.
Yeah, I think water by adhesion goes around the curved edge of the gutter and loops into the gutter without having a screen over the top.
Anyways, to get to your point about the drip edge, I mean, the purpose of the drip edge is to get the water to drip away from the fascia.
Right.
And the drip edge is bent at an angle to kick the water out. One thing you can do is put your fingers underneath that kick and bend it out a little bit more, and that will help kick the water out more. But still, with wind-driven rain, your fascia is going to get wet.
Not perfect.
Right, it's not perfect. Often.
So maybe just try tweaking the drip edge.
Right, that's a simple way, and that will help kick the water out some more.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy is our guest on a home improvement edition of Vox Pop. And Paul in East Hampton. Paul, you're on.
Hey, Darren and Ray.
Hi. Hello.
Quick question about my foundation. I'm in a 1950s Cape, and the foundation, for whatever reason, is only like 2 inches of concrete above the ground before it hits the sill. And, you know, it's just made in the 50s before those codes came in, I guess. Any recommendations, Darren, on how to sort of prevent, you know, the leaf buildup and the snow buildup from affecting the sill and the actual studs in the wall above the foundation without actually, you know, having to refoundation the house? Any tips?
One tip would be to excavate the grade away from your home. Is the grade pitched away from your home, or is it relatively flat?
It's pretty flat.
Okay, well, then that may not help so much. What you can do is you can excavate a trench around the perimeter, maybe a shovel's width, and maybe 6 inches deep, 4 to 6 inches deep, and install P-stone. And when water lays next to your foundation, it will drain right straight down through the P-stone versus if it was topsoil. You get a big, heavy downpour, it'd tend to hang around there and migrate up to your foundation. So, you know, that's a simple fix. And also, when you install that P-stone around your foundation, if you could, in one area, the lowest area of your house, if you could dig a ditch away from your house some distance, the further the better, so that the water could exit and shed away from your foundation. That's the simplest solution that I can help you with.
Paul, thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and Darren Tracy is our guest. Let's get a call or two in before break number one. Let's go to John in Poughkeepsie. John, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have a plumbing question for you. But before that, I also have, I think, what my interpretation of a Yankee gutter was like houses built in the early 1900s. They actually were part of the roof system and used to have to actually go into the soffit and fascia of the house. But that's not my question.
Okay.
So I am doing a little renovation of a half bath, and we took the ceiling down, and it was underneath a tub, and I have a small leak coming from the base of the tub. And it seems like it's about an inch and three quarters or a two-inch pipe that comes out of what's basically attached right to the base of the tub and then goes over to the drain line, the trap, et cetera. And one end of that line looks like it's got it just a coupling that you screw onto, but I can't tell if the other end is a piece that's soldered into the unit. Are you able to replace that? I would call myself a little bit above the average homeowner. I tinker with a lot of different stuff, including some plumbing, but is that something that the homeowner could tackle?
Typically, that's a little bit above a homeowner's skill set, but you said that you're somewhat skilled, so maybe you could tackle it. There are a couple of different types of connections there. Sometimes it's a threaded connection. The flange in the tub can be unscrewed counterclockwise to disconnect that from the drain piping, and there may be a gasket there that needs replacement. Hard to say without looking at your detail. There could be some soldering connections down below there, but it sounds like it's a connection between the flange and the drain pipe in the tub itself, not in the pipe.
So it'll take a little investigation.
Right where it is, attaches to the base of the line, yeah. Okay.
What you can do is send me a photograph. I'll give out my email address at some point, and when I take a look at that photograph, I could better advise you.
Well, let's do that right now. What's that email address?
Okay, it's Darren@WestBranchInc.com.
Darren@WestBranchInc.com. Darren Tracy is our guest, and we'll take a short break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Dola Pizzeria Napolitana, traditional Neapolitan-style pizza in a 900-degree wood-fired oven, downtown Great Barrington, open 6 days and 7 nights, dolapizza.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering and preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Careers and Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing. Careers and Transition, LLC.com. And the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers. nature.org/Adirondacks.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Our guest today is Darren Tracy, and we talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. And this one came in via email. Darren, from Adrian in New Paltz, we have a slow sloped drain from our master bath sinks, a mobile home situation, which freezes with cold. I can get underneath and do a heat wrap around this pipe. Any other ideas? Appreciated.
Yes. Any temperatures in the single digits or below, open up your faucet, can be the cold water faucet, to a slow drip such that maple trees might be dripping today if you had them tapped.
Okay.
Be a drip maybe every 5 seconds.
All right.
Drip, drip. You're not wasting a lot of water. If you use the cold water, you're not wasting energy to heat the water, and that should be enough to keep it from freezing.
Hopefully we're done with the single digits, yeah?
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jeff in Highland. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I got a quick question. I have a 1930s farmhouse, and I noticed on the hose going into the washing machine, it's rusted, and I want to change it, but I can't get the darn thing off. I feel like I'm going to break the copper. Any other ways to loosen the fastener to replace the hose?
Typically, a washing machine has a flexible rubber hose with a metal end.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
That's the one, and it goes into the water. But the one that's going to the pipe, it's all rust. Move it.
Yeah.
I feel like the copper is going to, if I really do it, I don't want to have a big
right.
plug
you
down.
You could try using a hairdryer to apply heat to the copper and then use water pump type pliers or a pipe wrench. And you can also...
Because I saw online they said they use a Dremel to cut it, but I'm kind of afraid that might mess up the tread on the valve.
Right, yeah, I think that would. I think you could... Another option is, you know, if you take safety precautions, you can take a propane torch and heat up the metal
right.
that way. You can heat it up to a higher temperature, and the metal will expand more. And...
Yeah, okay.
You probably have luck that way.
A quick question.
And you can also tap on it, too, as you're rotating a torque force with your wrench. Tap on the wrench or tap on the metal part of the hose, and just that little vibration sometimes help loosen things up.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for that one. Our number is 800-348-2551. And Darren Tracy is our guest, and Bobby in South Glens Falls. Bobby.
Hi, I built my house at the Saltbox Cape with a cathedral ceiling. So two quick questions. A, I put in ridge vent, you know, on the roof. But in order for aesthetics, I put in gable end vents because there was too much mass up there. I was told that the gable end vents, if they're functioning, negate the purpose of the ridge vent. And the second quick question is, do you need to vent at all? If you're like a new section of the house I'm adding on to, if I go with spray foam insulation.
All right.
Okay. I would say that's generally incorrect to say if you use gable vents, you wouldn't need ridge vents. The calculation is based on square inches of free area. So it's not whether you use one or the other. It's how much you have of either of those or a combination. Of those.
No, maybe my question wasn't clear enough. I have ridge vent, but then I put in the gable vent in addition to the ridge vent just for aesthetics, and I was told that the gable end vents negate the ability of the ridge vent to function properly or vice versa.
Maybe to a certain degree, but I would say overall it would provide more ventilation versus less ventilation. And then regarding your spray foam, you do not need to vent that. In fact, that would be counterproductive to try to vent that. Typically, that spray foam insulation is sprayed right on the underside of your roof deck sheathing.
Okay.
So there is no place to vent it. And then everything below that insulation is a heated space.
All right. Thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpopwamc.org. And Darren, this one came in via email from Debbie. And Debbie writes, my boyfriend and I are building out the interior of a gutted house. Is there any easy to use but yet useful software out there I can build the house plans with and do the design work? I do not have CAD experience. That's from Debbie.
I think there are. I am not familiar with them. I think there's program called SketchUp, and that's relatively easy to use. I haven't used it. I use AutoCAD, which is a bear of a program to learn in terms of the learning curve.
What was the name of the easy one?
SketchUp, people used to use.
SketchUp,
yeah, okay. Something like that. Word, just any Word program probably has that capability.
All right, fair enough.
And programs come and go. Like every year, there's some rendition of a program that comes out that's better than what was previously used. So you just have to keep on top of that.
But if you are a person without any experience and you have a program and you design something, you still have to have it approved before you build it, right?
If you're going for a building permit, the code enforcement officer will want that reviewed and stamped by a design professional, either a licensed professional architect or a licensed professional engineer like myself.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. And Rob in Albany. Rob, you're on.
Hey, somebody wrote in about, they wrote in an email about trying to keep their drains from freezing up in the cold weather.
Yeah.
What my mom does is she puts little carpet pieces over each one of her vents, and when she turns on the heat, it forces all the air underneath the house and keeps the house warm underneath, and she never has frozen pipes.
But her house is cold because it's not getting warm air. But yeah, okay, that's, you know, if you're having sub-zero weather and I guess a cold living room is better than frozen pipes.
Yeah, I mean, you leave it on when you're going to bed. You're not going to need it anyways.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's cool. Rob, thanks a lot for the call. And over to Chris in High Falls. Chris, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I was wondering, my house has recently been having a severe overuse of electricity, and I was told by a plumber that the cold water storage tank needs to be repaired or replaced. Could those possibly be linked?
They could be, because your pump could be short cycling on and off, and it draws more current when it starts and when it's running continuously. And those are notorious for becoming waterlogged. Often the newer ones are steel on the outside and have a rubber bladder, and they can leak and become waterlogged. So you need to drain those out, repressurize them so that you have longer run times. For your pump versus on-off, on-off.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Go ahead.
I'd just like to clarify one of the last calls that we had regarding ventilating an attic with spray foam.
Yeah.
I said that you would not ventilate an attic where spray foam was sprayed directly to the underside of sheathing. I'd like to clarify, you can add a second layer of roof sheathing on top of that and ventilate that.
Okay. And what's the advantage of doing that?
It's just better ventilation.
Okay.
Just better ventilation. Yeah. And also, if you have a roof leak with shingles, when it gets down into the spray foam, the sheathing, that's a real problem. If you have a secondary layer of roof sheathing above it, makes it a lot easier for a roof repair.
Very interesting. Darren Tracy is our guest today. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement on Vox Pop at 800-348-2551. Marcus in Albany is next. Marcus.
Yeah, hi. In my house, I got a submersible well pump, and it goes to that blue expansion tank. And upstairs in the bathroom, I get good pressure. In the kitchen, I get so-so pressure. And same with upstairs. And then when the pump kicks on, I get good pressure in the shower upstairs on the second floor. But when it starts going down, I get a little less pressure. I was wondering, should I change the pipes to half inch, or should I just make the expansion tank get a bigger one?
Okay, changing the pipe size isn't going to change the pressure. The pressure is the same through all different pipe sizes. The volume of the flow, but I don't think you'd want to go down. If it's 3/4 inch, I don't think you'd want to go down to a half inch. What you can do is replace the pressure differential switch. A system like yours has a switch that turns the pump on at, say, 30 pounds, and the pump will run until the pressure goes up 50 pounds and then shut off. Okay, and then when you run your shower, you'll
you're taking
a shower, and over the course of 30 seconds or 45 seconds or a minute, you'll notice the flow reduces, and that's the pressure in your system dropping back from 50 to 30, and then the pump will kick back on and it'll build back up. What you can do is change that switch and make it a 40-60. They make different pressure differentials, and that could make a difference.
Oh, okay.
Also, and you want to make sure that your pump is running a cycle of about 45 seconds, minimum 45 seconds. Otherwise, you have the problem. you could have a problem, as described by a previous caller, where using more electricity because the pump's going on, off. And it also decreases the lifespan of the pump when you have that repeated run cycle. You want a longer run cycle. So you can check that. And if there is a problem, you want to drain the water out of that tank and repressurize the tank. And you want to set that pressure, I think it's about 2 PSI below your cut-in pressure. So if you have a switch that's or cut-out pressure, if you have a switch that's a 30-50, you want to set it at 48 pounds.
All right, Marcus, thank you for the call. Darren Tracy is our guest today. It's home repair, maintenance, and improvement. And Darren is a licensed professional engineer and a master plumber and a certified building analyst. Always great to have him on the program. We always get a lot of plumbing questions. And thankfully, in coming weeks, I don't know, several weeks from now, a few weeks, we'll be doing another plumbing show, Just Plumbing, with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. But any housing or building question today is on the table for Darren Tracy. And let's go on over to Alex in Clifton Park. Alex.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. I have hot water radiator heating in my house with a gas-fired boiler. I understand that that's kind of a closed-loop system, that it's the same water that flows, you know, to the boiler and then out to the radiators all the time. Do I, once a year or so, need to somehow drain that water out and replace it with fresh water, or does the same water just stay in the system all the time?
No, you do not need to drain it out, and the same water does not stay in the system all the time, although most of it does. Some of it dissipates out, and there is a plumbing fitting called a makeup valve that senses the pressure reduction in your closed system, and it opens up. It's tied into your domestic water line, and it opens up and allows more water to come in when it senses a reduction in pressure. So it's an automatic system, so you don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay, so I'll just leave it be, and
just leave it be.
Fine.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex. We appreciate the call. Our number here on Vox Pop, if you have a home maintenance, repair, and improvement question, is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. In the winter months, are you guys at West Branch sort of in hibernation, or do you work all winter long?
Well, we're kind of in the sunset of our construction company now, so we don't do that much.
What do you
work.
Mean in the sunset?
Well, I've been at it for 30 years, and you can't keep going forever.
You don't look that old. You're going to retire?
No, I'm not going to retire. I don't consider myself working, so there's nothing to retire
really?
From. I work for myself. It's a different world when you work for yourself.
Well, that's pretty great, man.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's,
but
know.
Anyways, to answer your question, we're slower now, and it depends on the year. Sometimes you get some inside jobs, and you're busy in the winter. Those are fortunate years.
And when do things pick up? What month? April?
You get a few days like we have today. And as we said earlier in the program, the juices get flowing. Say, oh, I want to take care of that. I want to take care of that. April.
And the calls just start coming in.
Yeah, it gets really busy.
And if people want to find out more about West Branch, what is that website?
WestBranchInc.com is our construction company and our engineering company, two separate companies. You can't mix and match companies in New York State according to the laws.
Oh.
West Branch Engineering.
More onerous regulation.
More regulations, right.
I'm sure there's a reason for it. It has something to do with money. Yeah. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Let's go over to, let's take a stab here. Jan, are you there?
Yes, hi.
You're on. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Troy, New York.
All right. You're on the air with Darren Tracy.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm calling because my husband and I renovated our house, and I have two questions. First, we redid our bedrooms, but they're really small. Must we put closets back in order to call them bedrooms before we put the house up for sale?
I think technically, for a room to be considered a bedroom, it needs a closet.
You're kidding me.
I think that's the case. Now, you could possibly put a freestanding wardrobe-type piece of furniture in there that would qualify. I'm not sure about that.
Okay. I was wondering if maybe we'd have to wall mount it in order to count it then.
Possibly. But I do think that for a room to be considered a bedroom, it needs a closet.
Okay. My next question is, we have well water. We could get city water, but after renovating the whole house, we can't really afford to run the pipe right now.
Okay.
Our water just recently, we've been in the house for 4 or 5 years. It just recently started smelling a little musty, like wet dog. It doesn't taste bad, and we've had it tested to bejesus since,
fine. It's well said.
We've had it tested like crazy because of all of the problems up in Hoosick, which isn't far from us.
Okay.
So I know the water's okay, but it smells funny.
Okay. What were the test results? What were they saying?
The test result, well, we got it tested 2 years ago. We haven't tested it since they had the big scare up in Hoosick.
Hmm.
Should I test my water again now?
I would. And there are companies out there that will do that for free. Water treatment companies, typically they will do it for free, at least in this area. They'll come out and sample your water with the hopes that they could sell you some water treatment equipment and services if so needed. So I would take them up on that.
All right, Jen, thank you so much for the call. Go ahead, Darren.
I'd like to make one correction.
Another one.
Regarding water tank setting, I said inflate your pressure tank to 2 psi below the cutout pressure.
Yeah.
I meant that's a mistake. It's 2 psi below the cut-in pressure. So if it's 30-50 pressure setting, you want to charge your tank to 28.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Darren Tracy is our guest, and our number is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break here, and then we will hit the home stretch on Vox Pop.
Support for WMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. Capital Roots, making fresh local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. To learn more, CapitalRoots.org. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, opening March 10th with fine art animals from the collection of the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie. More at ArkellMuseum.org. The Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Water by the Spoonful, a returning Iraq soldier struggles with civilian life, March 1st through 11th, newpaltz.edu/theater. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration, hikelakegeorge.org.
Every now and then you just got to hear some Buddy Guy, don't you think?
Yeah. If that's Buddy Guy, that's, yeah. I like it.
Darren Tracy is our guest today on Vox Pop. It's 800-348-2551 if you want a question about home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And back to the phones we go. Let's go over to Paul in Stone Ridge. Paul.
Hi. My question is regarding a cycle stop valve for a well pump. Are you familiar with that product?
I am not, but go ahead and describe the problem and what it does.
What it does, and it branches off something you said earlier regarding keeping the cycle time on your well pump longer, so it doesn't bring your pressure in your system up to the cutoff pressure.
Okay. All right.
It keeps your pump running.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like...
Do you have any recommendations? Is it worth installing?
It's probably, not, from a cost standpoint, it's probably not worth the labor and material costs to install in an existing system. It might be a good idea in a new system. Wouldn't require that much extra labor. But I like the idea. It probably reduces the flow of the water so that it takes longer to build up the pressure. And it would...
Correct. It keeps the pump running for longer just to...
Require a minimum amount of the time for the pump to run before it shuts off. So...
Right.
On a new system,
okay.
Probably a good idea. On an existing system, probably not worth it from an economic standpoint.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. Number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We go over to Paul in Albany. Paul.
Hi, I guess this is the Paul show.
Oh, yeah.
Darren, thanks for telling me at the Flurry Festival that you're going to be on this week.
So this is Paul Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say that over the air.
There you go. Paul is a longtime involved person with the Dance Flurry up in Saratoga, which was this past weekend, which I was telling Ray I'm still,
recovering from. Old time.
They're dancing and 15,000 steps Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Impressive.
And Ray and I are longtime Mets fans.
Anyway. It's going to be a good year.
Anyway, so my question is something that heating people have never been able to answer, or plumbers. Sometimes when we take a shower or just run hot water, it's really, really hot, and other times it's lukewarm. And that's been with the old hot water heater before this and the one before that. It's gas hot water. Is there a reason for that? It's nobody's been able to explain it.
I have a couple guesses. One would be stratification of the water in the tank, where the warmer water would be in the top and cooler water in the bottom, and the water hasn't been used and it's been allowed to stratify and separate. Another guess would be that your thermostat, probably a more likely guess, the thermostat on your tank is sticking. So that
I tried thermostat in this tank and the old tank. I would just, turn it up higher, and it didn't seem to make any difference. I mean, it would make the water hotter when it got hot.
Did you replace the valve?
The valve, huh? I'll have to take a look.
Did you replace the thermostat?
No.
Okay. Well, sometimes it might stick, and other times it may not. I would bet it's more likely than not that that's the problem, that the thermostat is sticking.
Okay.
Fact that it was the same on my old, I've been in this house 32 years as my third hot water heater, and it's happened on the last two. Or maybe it's the same thing. Maybe the thermostat's sticking on all of them.
I've had that problem at my house with the thermostat sticking. And I've had to reverse
I'll call in the guy and give more money to the local economy.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And this one came in via email from Teresa. I have a 100-year-old two-floor house in Albany. Downstairs is always cold. House has a gas boiler with radiators. It also has an old fireplace, which I never use because it seems to suck all the air from the living room. I'd like to put a gas fireplace or some other device into the fireplace that would give good heat to the living room. Any advice? Appreciate your advice. That's from Teresa.
There are gas units that you could install in the fireplace, and you'd want to be careful to bring in outside air for that unit so you're not using the air that's in your house, and also vent it outside and not have there are some inexpensive units that you can just set in and have them vent inside. That's not good. You can build up moisture inside.
All right.
And uses up the oxygen. There are also unit heaters that you can install. Renai is the name of one manufacturer, and they're really efficient, and I've used those with good luck.
Okay, and this one came in from Nick, and then we'll go back to the phones. I have a raised ranch-style rental house, which currently only has electric baseboard heat. The tenants recently moved out. I've gutted the flooring, kitchen, bath, etc. The carpenter doing the work suggests adding ductwork and a propane or mixed-fuel furnace. I was hoping to get your advice on whether this would be advisable, and I see that a big-box store that I won't name only sells a natural gas furnace with a kit to convert it to LP gas. Do you foresee any issues with that? My end goal is to help reduce heating costs and wasn't sure that this would be a worthwhile upgrade, and that is from Nick.
Okay, there's not a problem converting the natural gas fixture to a propane-burning fixture. It's just an orifice that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
And prices of fuels have changed over the years. Of course, natural gas is the most inexpensive fuel to use.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you don't have it since you would be changing orifices to propane. And then I think next on the price scale, it used to be fuel oil, used to be next least expensive. And than electricity. Of course, nowadays they're you can use groundwater heat pumps to heat your home. I would say he's probably right to investigate use of the propane. You could, instead of using ductwork, you could install baseboard radiation as an option, and that might be easier to install than the ductwork at this point, depending upon the configuration of your home. You can email me about that. I can talk to you about it.
What is your email address again?
Again, it's Darren at westbranchinc.com, D-A-R-R-E-N at west, W-E-S-T, branch, B-R-A-N-C-H, I-N-C.com.
All right, back to the phones. And Steve in Hudson Falls. Steve, you're on.
Thank you. Darren, I'm doing a partial remodel of some of my partner's house. In the process, I'm working in the bathroom and trying to replace the spout on the tub. It is a threaded spout, aluminum, I'm sure, from the appearance of it. But it doesn't want to come off. I am suspicious that it may have oxidized onto the pipe underneath, and I'm wondering whether there is a way to cut it off rather than breaking into the wall behind it to get at the pipe that way.
You can try doing that with a Sawzall or a 4.5-inch grinder and cut the outside so that you can get a better grasp with a wrench. And the risk is torquing the probably copper pipe that it's attached to and damaging that pipe. That's what happens when you turn those spouts with too much force. They don't free up, but the copper pipe that's attached to fails, and then you have a bigger problem, and you have to access that from the back side of the wall and replace the copper pipe. So you could, since you have to replace it anyways, it probably wouldn't do any harm to...
I imagine if I could cut off most of it and get at, and see the pipe, I could then, get a wire brush or a power brush and start gradually taking away the residual aluminum on there. But last I want to do is damage that copper pipe because I know that's going to mean a whole bigger repair.
Right. Yeah. It probably has a male adapter on it, and I'm not sure a wire brush will help you on that because the friction occurs between the male and the female threads, and you can't reach those with a wire brush. However, if you do cut away the outside of that spigot, you can access that with a propane torch and heat up the female part of that fitting. And as I was discussing earlier in the show, that would expand more than the metal underneath and possibly provide the ability for you to unscrew that without damaging the copper pipe.
Well, thank you for the call. Let's go over to Jim in Stone Ridge. Jim, you're on.
Oh, thanks. We have a house that was built in 1842, and it has double-hung sash windows, except that the upper sash is fixed. Two or three years ago, we installed storm sashes, or the sort of traditional storm sashes on each window. And since then, I've noticed condensation as the weather gets particularly cold on the inside of the storm sashes. This is particularly noticeable on the second floor windows, much more than the first floor windows. It does seem that the upper and lower floor sashes are both kind of on the leaky side. That is the double hung or single hung sashes.
Okay.
So that's my issue. And what can you tell me about the condensation? I'm particularly wondering what conclusions could be drawn from there being much more excessive on the second floor than the first floor.
Okay. Let me understand what you did. You installed a storm window on the outside of your double hung window. Is that what you did?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, there's not a real easy fix for that other than making sure that that storm window is sealed tight, maybe caulk around the perimeter, because you still get the warm air from the inside of the house hitting the window, and it's much cooler, and cool air cannot hold as much air, not as much moisture or water vapor as warm air, so it condenses out. It's a problem, I know. I actually have that problem on some of the windows in my home, and there it's a relatively newer home, 20-year-old half-inch or three-quarter-inch thermal windows. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, it's there's no easy fix to that.
Okay.
Other than replacing the windows or repairing, taking apart that double hung window and making sure that it's sealed more tightly.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. And you wanted to make a correction.
I did. Well, it's not a correction. It's just an additional comment regarding the heating system that the gentleman is, the different options for a heating system.
Yep.
Where he got at his home. Another option would be called a mini split. Which have been used more popularly lately, as of late. And it's a heat pump type situation, and it uses electricity, but they're more efficient than the old heat pumps, and they're able to operate at lower temperatures now. It used to be old heat pumps, you get down into the teens and definitely the single digits, they just wouldn't work efficiently. But the newer ones have technology such that they can still produce heat at a lower temperature. So that's an option to look at. They're called heat pumps. And then additionally, you might want to check out solar panels for your home and use the electricity generated from those panels for either the mini-split heat pump or baseboard radiation.
Okay. Back to the phones. And Volker and Lee Mass is on. Hello.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I have a house with a chimney in the center of the house, and up in the attic, there is a hose coming out of the wall of the chimney, and when it rains, sometimes, not always, it's there's water draining out of it. And I wonder, what exactly is it doing, and can it be removed somehow, maybe?
You said a hose. Is the hose connected to anything?
Well, that I don't know. It's coming out of the wall of the chimney, and it looks like it's coming from at the top of the chimney.
Okay,
it's probably maybe 10 feet below the top, I would say.
Okay. It's strange to have a hose connected to your chimney. It may be a metal pipe where another fuel-burning appliance was connected in the past or is still
attic?
Connected. Yeah.
It's definitely flexible.
It's flexible.
It's a hose. It's a good-sized hose, I would say. Okay.
Three-quarter inch. That's strange. Is this chimney in use?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very peculiar.
I asked a couple of people about it, and no one could give me an answer.
Do you think someone modified it in the past, maybe to catch rainwater for use?
Well, it's up in the attic. I don't think so. It's not easily accessible. And right now, if it drains into a bucket, and I have a water alarm with it. So whenever there is a certain amount of water, I take the water out. I get rid of it. But
it's a hose
a little bit
tapped into your chimney that you have piped to a bucket, and then you empty the bucket occasionally.
Yeah.
That is peculiar.
So what can he do?
Well, you shouldn't have water coming into. I assume you get the water when it rains. Is that correct?
Yeah, but not always. I think it also has to do with the way the wind is.
Okay. Somehow I would put a chimney cap. Install a chimney cap so you're not getting rain in there, and I would eliminate the hose.
Well, that's an idea.
And patch that up with mortar.
Yeah, I have one on top, but maybe it's not large enough or something.
You
maybe
could put
the
one
wind
that
is high.
Overlaps the outer dimensions of your brick chimney by, say, 4 or 6 inches more, by a greater degree than what your existing cap.
Well, that's an interesting
now.
One. Volker,
yeah,
next time
one.
Darren is on, give us a call back and let us know how this turned out.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Very quickly, we only have 1 minute. Gary in Adams, Massachusetts. Gary.
Hi, Ray. Thank you.
Sure.
I just need to know what tools to purchase to cut glass, if you happen to know.
I do. It's a small, simple little glass cutter, typically about 6 inches long. It's made out of metal, and there's a little round wheel on the end. And when you cut that glass, you want to have a flat surface, lay the glass on a flat surface with a straight edge, and try to make just one score, one strike, not two or three times, just one score.
Oh, in one direction.
In one direction.
Okay.
And then hang it over the surface, the flat surface, and use something straight and snap it off quickly.
Okay.
And those are inexpensive. They're less than $10.
Cool.
Yeah, and the straight edge, is it ordinary aluminum, like a square?
Yeah, anything. Okay. Anything.
All right, Gary, that's it. We will have to wrap up this program right now. Once again, Darren, the website?
WestBranchInc.com for construction and West Branch Engineering for the engineering questions.
Well, I hope that the springtime is not too busy for you as you relax in your sunset years. 800-348-2551. Jot that number down because tomorrow is an exciting program, and I forgot what it was, but it's going to be a fabulous show.
With you hosting the show, I can understand that.
Well, you never know. Maybe I'll be fired by then. Support comes from Penny Farthing Investment Management Amherst, a socially conscious, fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org, Lathrop Retirement Communities, communities of older adults devoted to social responsibility and personal and intellectual enrichment, Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, lathrop.kendall.org. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, a plastic surgeon dedicated to aesthetic cosmetic surgery, cool sculpting, treatment, and laser and skin care since 1996. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. At Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, professionally trained groomers, organic natural products, no cage drying, Facebook at 866-WASH-WAG. You know, tomorrow's program is going to be the Science Forum. I was just handed this note. So that's going to be a great show, right? Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here. Zach Malloy was the engineer. Carol Lapani answered the phones. I'm Ray Graff. And again, tomorrow at 2, the aforementioned Science Forum. Right now, stand by for news.